Today on Real Life Radio.
Our thinking goes insane. We think it's right, but it's wrong. And God says your heart becomes darkened and your thoughts become foolish and your logic and reason is skewed from reality and truth so far to the point that you begin to worship creation rather than the Creator.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Are you looking for a deeper understanding of the Bible? Well, our current featured resource might be a pretty good next step for you. It's called With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook. It's written by Warren Wiersbe, and what sets this Bible handbook apart from the others is its accessible format. And rather than overwhelming you with dense theological analysis, it presents each chapter in a clear and concise manner. It's a great book. You not only learn the spiritual significance of the text with valuable historical and cultural background, but you'll learn ways to apply it to your life. Wiersbe is well known for striking a balance between academic study and devotional warmth, so you can really relate to it on a personal level as well as an intellectual one. With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook, written by Warren Wiersbe, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. It's available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Get your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. The Apostle Paul wrote many encouraging words, including how God holds our human existence above all else. It's why this series is so vitally important, especially when it comes to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to stay tuned. You see, preborn life is not only a political issue, it's a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. But as a culture, we've left our biblical worldview to the point that we consider human life something disposable. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that natural creation bears witness to many things. And the overwhelming proof of it is that we as humans are the centerpiece of who God values. We only lose value when we forget God in our thinking. Now with his message called Why Defending the Preborn Matters, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So when does life begin is the great question. And what's beautiful as we get into this, keep this in mind as we look through these verses, when does life begin? The genesis of the question, when does life begin? I've said this before, I want to state it again as well. It's predominantly, almost always, certainly in the context of this study, regarding the issue of the baby. Or if you are a progressive liberal, the fetus or the mass. By the way, I just recently heard a real person say that an unwanted pregnancy is a form of a sexually transmitted disease. An educated, degreed individual that if the child or that the thing is unwanted, it is none other than a sexually transmitted disease. That, I believe, is on the verge or the threshold of a culture that is ripe for the judgment of God when we begin to think like that. That is a reprobate mind, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, which is worth nothing. But listen, you want to talk about when does life begin and when is it viable and when it's so hypocritical in the political realm, because if you take kids out of a science course, they understand the argument perfectly well without the political infusion of confusion. Why? Because the egg in the female, is it alive or dead? It's alive. It's alive. The sperm and the male, alive or dead? When those two living things collide, you've got a miracle. Period. A miracle. A mathematical miracle, a chemistry miracle, a biological miracle, a miracle of miracles. Science knows it. Everybody knows it. except the politicians don't know it. Well, when, you know, it's take the RU46 pill and kill the conception within 24 hours. Pop the pill, abort the process. Just understand this, and we know this now more than ever in our scientific culture. You are destroying what God says is his miraculous work. If God wasn't at work, there wouldn't have been a pregnancy. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." What a beautiful work. You see God inside David's mother's womb, knitting his DNA together. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know them full well." The Bible, Psalm 139, 3,000 years old. And the Bible says, God engineered me when I was inside my mother's womb. The Bible. And we know that as a scientific fact today. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you, says God, in the womb, I knew you." This is the infinite wisdom of God. "Before you were born, I sanctified you." Wow. So listen, before we move off of this, I have this question. If it's up for debate about it being alive or not, or a human or not, or viable or not, if someone murders a pregnant woman and the baby dies, what do we have in our hands if we're in court? We have a double homicide. Did you know that? Listen, young people, wake up. Did you get that? Actually, it's not the young people. You guys are hot on the topic of abortion. It's my generation of lunatics. We were so busy inventing the iPhone and the iPad that we aborted babies. My generation. And if you kill a woman who's pregnant and the baby dies, you are going on the stand to be tried for a double homicide. You killed two human beings with one blow. Isn't that interesting? If it's just tissue, listen, let's be consistent as a culture. Are you with me? Yes. You see how the political issue invades the sanctity of God's creation. So don't tell me to butt out of this issue or, pastor, stay out of politics. When politics invades this church, my Bible, Christianity, and for that matter, in this case, good science. If you say, "Well, I don't believe any of that stuff," then how about good science? You should stand up and fight back lunatics in Sacramento and in Washington. And by the way, you do that by voting the bums out of office. That's how you do that. A woman carves a baby out of the mother's stomach because she wants the baby. Both die. The perpetrator is condemned for, and justifiably so, double homicide. The next thing is this. The genesis of the question is, when does life have value? When does life have value? Ask yourself, when does life have value? Because God himself never questions himself regarding this issue. He assumes it in the scripture. It's assumed, I should say, that life has value. In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, Luke 1:15, it says, "For he," that's John the Baptist, "will be great in the sight of the Lord." He was still in Elizabeth's womb, his mommy's womb. And listen to this, this is the Bible. Elizabeth is pregnant to John, who will be John the Baptist. The Bible says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." That's God's view. When does life have value? Well, if you ask Adolf Hitler, it's only when you can guarantee an Aryan people. They got to have blue eyes or light-colored eyes, green, blue, light-colored hair, light complexion. His greatest desire was to have a Nordic person be replicated on earth. A perfect Aryan race. And it's interesting how, by the way, Margaret Sanger and eugenics and Adolf Hitler agreed on purging the culture and the society of dark-skinned people. Read Margaret Sanger. Do you guys know who she is? You ought to look her up. Have you ever heard of Planned Parenthood? That's her baby. She's a saint to Planned Parenthood. I think she died in 1966, if my memory serves me right. It probably doesn't, but I'm close. And she was devoted to purging the race or the races to create a superior race of people. Eugenics. Look it up later. Don't look it up now. You won't hear the rest of the study. God values all life. Listen to this. All life. Because, listen, maybe we've all been involved in this. When does life have value? In some way, shape, or form. Have you ever had a doctor? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever had a doctor say, you know, your pregnancy doesn't look all that great. We think that you should abort. I'm not going to name any names, but there's some dear friends of ours who had a pregnancy. And she had a rough pregnancy before. She had lost the first child. Then she was pregnant again. And she had this appendicitis in like her eighth or ninth month. And we rushed her to the hospital, Lisa and I did. And when she got to the hospital, the emergency room doctor said, listen, we got to do your appendectomy, but to do it right, we've got to abort this child. And she said, are you nuts? Forget it, then there's no way. And thank God, her doctor wound up showing up and just said, get out of the way. This baby stays and we're going to make this work. And she had an appendectomy and that child was born. And I'm not going to give the name of that child because that child is in the Christian music industry now and loving Jesus and tours the world serving Christ. And that doctor would have had that child aborted. By the way, look at the history of Beethoven's family. Look it up, research it. Beethoven's family, his brothers and sisters, all were either born Down syndrome or dead. And Beethoven was something like, don't quote me on this, but was something like the 9th or 10th kid in their pregnancy. And everything seemed to be going okay. But imagine if she would have gone to the doctor and they would have told her, look, your 9 previous pregnancies were a disaster. Abort this kid. In fact, this question was put before a class. Veiling the name of who the baby would be. And the class voted, abort the child. And the teacher said, congratulations, you just aborted Beethoven. A real story. The value of life. God says in Exodus 4:11, then the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? And who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? You see that? If a child is born and somehow handicapped, God says, I'm involved in all of that. I'm involved in all of that. It didn't escape the wisdom of God when Noah was born, your grandson. God knew exactly what he was doing. And God still knows exactly what he's doing with your grandson. Well, this person was born blind. Hey, you know what? There are kids that are Down syndrome babies. And they are the most loving. They are the most loving and compassionate kids you've ever met. They're so preciously innocent. They love. It's amazing that we have. Would to God we had more of that character. Let me tell you, life's an amazing, miraculous mystery, and God knows what he's doing. And God tells Moses, Moses, quit your whining. I know what I'm doing. I'm even working. When a person's born blind or born mute, I know what I'm doing. You and I don't understand that. I understand that you and I do not understand that. But in eternity, we will understand it. Trust God, Christian.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Just turn there right now if you would. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. By the way, a lot of the stuff I'm reading right now is what the Democratic Party has adopted as their platform for this election. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Wow. By the way, the word in the Greek means it's coming right now. It's been coming. God's wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Wow, what could that be? Who suppress the truth, in unrighteousness, that basically means to lie against the truth, because of what may be known of God is manifested or revealed in them. There's an internal witness from God, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Wow. Because although they knew God, that is, they knew of the existence of God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Watch what happens when they reject God. We will not have God be part of our program or our lives. Professing themselves to be wise, I cut that short. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing, verse 22, themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think they're really smart, but others can see through their stupidity. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creation or the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. What happens when you think like this? Mark it down. The third consideration, the genesis of the question is this. When does life lose its value? When you adopt that way of thinking, ladies and gentlemen. When you push God out of your thinking. Watch. When you push God out of your thinking, then everything goes askew. The human being, listen, all of us, when we choose to think wrong against God, our thinking goes off the track. And it goes into the bushes. It goes into the dirt. And our thinking goes insane. We think it's right, but it's wrong. And God says your heart becomes darkened and your thoughts become foolish. And your logic and reason is skewed from reality and truth so far to the point that you begin to worship creation rather than the Creator. That's powerful. In Athens, Clark County, Massachusetts, they passed a law recently where, by the way, a teenager can go get an abortion without her parents' knowledge. It is now illegal to hand out goldfish at a carnival or fair because it teaches a devaluation of animal life to young children. It's illegal. You can't give away fair or carnival goldfish. Remember, we've all been cursed by those little goldfish you get when your kid throws the nickel in the thing and you went, oh boy, I want a goldfish. Now that's illegal in Massachusetts because they said it sends a message that it causes the child to think that life is disposable, but that same child can go get an abortion without the parents knowing in Massachusetts. Romans chapter 1, ladies and gentlemen, to a T. Point number two, politics and the preborn, the genesis of the facts. Number one is this, the evidence for life. The natural creation bears witness to many things, of course. But the overwhelming testimony is that mankind is the centerpiece of God's creation. Do you ever think about that? According to God, mankind is the centerpiece, not angels. Angels were not created in his image. You were. Isn't that amazing? A baby was created in the image of God. The evidence for life, the genesis of the facts, is amazing. The scientific evidence is overwhelming. There's the scientific overwhelming evidence regarding conception. And if you go back to a study in this worldview series, back to like our third or fourth study, you can look at some of the graphic displays we put up on the screen of conception and all the things that were taking place. The miracle of God as defined by science at conception. And then we consider about the evidence for life, the amazing design of it all. Again, you not only have to have, if evolution were to be true, you would have had to have a male-female human evolving at the exact same time. And by the way, both of them bumping into each other at the right time of the month and them getting together to create the third human being. Think of that. And then you got to do that with monkeys, giraffes. Everything has got to come and think, he's cute, she's cute, even though she's the only one on the planet. And, let's wrestle and make more. That's insane. Evolution's not true. God engineered it all. The evidence is overwhelming. Everything speaks about God's incredible evidence for life. The next thing is this. The genesis of the facts is the predetermined process to life. It's coded. Life is coded. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, God said there that he was going to create everything after its own kind and that within it, it would have its own information. This is very cool. Before I was born, I know that, 1858, before then, people used to think that there was evolution because this frog was a bigger frog than that frog, or this thing had scales, but it wasn't quite exactly a fish, or this thing must have evolved from that thing. And what's amazing is now we know from science that God was exactly right in Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that? Hello? God was exactly right, that everything produces after its own information-coded kind. And the variation within the species is written on the code. A species never moves onward to a different species, ever. Charles Darwin didn't know that, or if he knew that, he suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. A lizard does not become a bird and whatever. I mean, how many of you would like to be able to fly just with your body? Raise your hands. You'd like to just fly. Look at all of your hands. If evolution was true, we'd have wings right now. Why? Because we all want that. I want it, I want it, I want it. I think it, and thus it is. Evolve. Boom. I have dreams of flying. I run down the street. I don't want to get into that. It's personal, but it's, oh. It's not in my DNA, though, doggone it. I have to get an airplane to do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Why Defending the Preborn Matters. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So Christians everywhere, and I hear it all the time, things like this, should I vote or I'm not going to vote? And they're Christians. Now, of course, you can be a Christian and not vote, but you can't be a Christian with wisdom and not vote. To not vote is to allow the enemy in your act of apathy to gain ground. In fact, our nation, we would all agree, is messed up and is in a situation and a condition unlike any other time in our country's history. Why? How did that happen? Are you ready for the answer? The church didn't vote. No, isn't it the bad guy? It's the liberals. It's those mean people. Nope, the church did not vote. That's how we got here, folks. The church didn't vote. So what we must do is we must be good stewards of what God has given us. You're supposed to be a good steward over the money God gave you. You're supposed to be a good steward over the time God has given you. Listen, you are supposed to be a good steward over the responsibility of this constitutional republic to vote. So listen, register to vote. Get out there and vote for pro-life candidates or pro-Israel candidates or pro-marriage candidates. Know your Bible and vote accordingly. But by all means, get out there and vote. So let's pray about it right now. Father God, we pray that you'd wake up the family of God in this nation. Lord, if every believer went out and voted their biblical worldview according to the scripture, this nation would turn around
in one election. This nation would turn around in one day if Christians cared enough, stepped out of their apathy, and made their vote count for Jesus to do what honors him and an act of worship. If we made voting an act of worship and every Christian participated in America, righteousness would prevail. So God, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and, Lord, the catalyst to get up and vote and to vote rightly based upon your truth, God. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.